Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, a legacy member of the Jittery Monkey podcast family, JitteryMonkey.com, and of course, proudly affiliated with the SB Nation Podcast Network. CornNation is one of over 300 SB Nation sites. We appreciate your interest, your involvement, your feedback, and interaction on CornNation.com in the comment section. It's always a lot of fun, and I mean that with 87% sincerity. I'm Greg Mahochko, joined as always by the two other legs of the tripod, Haas Reuter to my right, and to my left, John Dam Johnston. Guys, how are we doing this week? Huskers 2-1. Haas, let's start with you. Just how are you feeling overall, life in general?
Life in general, it's hectic. Kind of dealing with class and work, and then I got my teaching practicum starting next month already, so it's moving along at a pretty good clip. Football wise, I'm feeling good. Be a lot better if we were 3-0, but showed another case of incremental improvement.
We've been riding those two words for about 12 months now, so I love they just keep coming back. John, how are you doing today? Tell me about your overall wellness.
My overall wellness?
Yeah, sure. Let's start there. Why not?
Are you back on the prednisone, John?
I guess my overall wellness is as good best as it's as good as it can be expected. I don't even know what to say there. You shock me with these phrases that come out of nowhere.
I mean, I like to. I don't want to just be like, "Hi, John. How are you? How's your day? How's the family?" I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. I thought you'd appreciate that I'm keeping you on your toes. But if you just want me to be bland, vanilla, milk toast, and first week of the season with the play call, then I can do that too.
You know, I'm an IT guy. Yeah. I you know how I answer the phone?
I'm curious.
What do you want?
But that is true. Sometimes I do that,
Can I guess?
I answer the phone single word, and it's not hello.
Damn, is it what?
Is it yeah?
It's yeah.
I was hoping you would say.
I answer the phone at times too. Yeah.
I was really hoping, John, that you would say, "IT, have you tried turning it off and on again?"
Sometimes I do.
Do you have a voicemail greeting that you've reached John? Woo! Damn Johnson.
No, my voicemail greeting actually says, I don't answer my phone unless I know what phone number is calling me. So if you expect me to actually call you back, you better leave a voicemail.
Oh, you're directing to the point.
I don't screw around. My overall,
my in the late 70s.
What's that?
Were you that direct when you were on the dating circuit in Lincoln in the late 70s?
I might have been.
Hey, name's John.
You know what? I've never
right
been known.
Street. What do you say?
I've never been known for being the smooth guy, okay?
What are you talking about? You're a silver tongued devil.
You're damn right I am. You know, I'd say, I don't know how you can feel bad about this week unless your health is suffering after the Northern Illinois win compared to the previous week where Colorado just ripped our hearts out and stomped on them.
I'm feeling.
Yeah, I'm still not over that Colorado game, if I'm being honest.
It's going to take us a long time to recover from that one, but a step in the nice direction is 44-8. The defense did its job, stepped up, pitched a shutout, so to speak. Offense gave, we know they gave 2 points away just on some questionable play call, but let's talk a little bit about that game last Saturday night, under the lights, Memorial Stadium. First time that we've been there in a while. But you know what? The offense came out and did what they needed to do. And the defense, I was most impressed, I think, by the defense in that game. You know, there was that third and fourth and goal, and the defense just stood strong at the goal line late in the game and preserved their aspect of the shutout. I mean, obviously points were on the board, but the defense didn't give up a touchdown. They kept the Huskies out of the end zone, and that was
what I.
Go ahead, Hoss.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you mentioned that fourth and goal, what I was going to say is that stop was great. What I was most impressed with is Northern Illinois went with a shift to get guys out of alignment in man coverage. And defense did a great job at recognizing where they need to line up against a shift. And Eli Sullivan did a great job running with the motion and man coverage and making one hell of a play. And that right there, more than just about anything this season, has shown me that we might actually have a pretty legit defense on our hands, especially from an assignment and a communication standpoint.
Eli Sullivan's...
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, Eli Sullivan, you know, is you know, a name before this year that we didn't really hear much of, and Colin Miller's another one as well. We got a couple of injuries in on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary. I think we lost to Williams in week one and
Cam Taylor Britt.
Thank you. The name escaped me there. To an apparent shoulder injury last week, and we don't have really timelines on either of them. But you know, we got some of these younger guys, or at least maybe more unsung guys, stepping up and making the most of their opportunities.
Absolutely, and that's what you want to see in year two under a defensive coordinator. Guys are comfortable with the system, and they're able to take that leap from not just learning what to do, but how to do it and how to do it well. And very rarely have we seen any communication breakdowns on the defensive side of the ball yet this season. Last season, we had a whole lot of issues with, like, linebackers fitting the wrong gap in the run game, and we had a lot of issues in the secondary of busted coverages because one guy's playing zone when everyone else is playing man, or vice versa. And through three games, we haven't seen that. We saw maybe the altitude, you know, and conditioning rear its head against Colorado, but I think that was more of a product of just the offense leaving the defense out on the field for the majority of the third quarter. But by and large, the defense has taken a step forward, not just a step forward, but a big step forward from last season, and I'm excited to see how they perform through the crucible of conference play.
John,
okay, was that safety, that play, was that really that bad a play call?
No, it wasn't, and that thing was actually really close to popping.
Yeah, the guy on the edge makes his block.
That might be a 99-yard touchdown if that happened.
Yeah, and everybody complained about it.
Yeah, the message board that I'm a member of, a lot of people were complaining about the play call and how it was a bad call on Frost's decision. And then some people were saying, no, it was just bad execution. And one person went as far to say that it was a bad play call because Frost should know the capabilities of his own player. Well, guess what? You're playing a game with the human element involved, 11 guys on each side. One missed assignment can wreck the entire play. And that's what happened.
Yeah, otherwise that looked like it was going to go, and then that guy didn't make his block. Yeah, I was surprised.
A lot of people are the same. Oops, sorry, John.
It's just this constant, you know, I guess if you're on your own 1 yard, you have to run up the middle every play for the rest of your life, and everybody knows that's what's supposed to happen. And if you don't, then
what if we do that, and, you know, someone on the offensive line has a busted assignment and Mo Washington or Adrian Martinez get nailed in the backfield for a safety. I mean, the same, you know, the run play might be a great call, but hey, there's a missed assignment. Does that invalidate the play as a bad, you know, make it a bad call?
Yeah. No, it's funny how people react to stuff. I mean, it was a bad play call just because it didn't work. Otherwise, he'd have looked like a genius.
Oh, yeah. If that thing houses for 99 or even gets us out to, like, the 35, you know, 30, 35, everyone's lauding, oh, Frost saw something, you know? It's like the thing that gets me with the conversation between bad play call or bad execution is the play call, it being a good play call, is playing upon a tendency of a singular player, or your call is just going to beat their defensive call, you know, on the whiteboard. Bad execution can be, hey, it was a great call, and someone didn't do their job. You know, the one person who doesn't do their job is who gives up a big play. It's like the second down run against Colorado in overtime. If Hymus recognizes the little, you know, the squeeze by the middle or by the outside linebacker, and J.D. Spielman, you know, gets to the outside shoulder of the strong safety, that thing's still popping for probably a first down. Instead, just a little bit of a poor execution, the play's dead on arrival.
I think.
Hello.
No. It's all really in-depth stuff, and I like that we're able to answer the big question, especially after the loss to Colorado, about like, should we fire Scott Frost, or can he, you know, make important? Like you said, that's not a bad play to call if, you know, Austin Allen makes his block. When we look at
there are also bad play calls that end up working.
Just sure.
The execution's there, you know, it goes a lot of different ways. You know, there's good play call, good execution, bad play call, good execution, bad play call, bad execution. You know, it's a game that's decided, you know, really, I've said it a lot, but the human element is at play, you know.
Is it, I want to look more big picture here. When we talk about incremental improvement, I think we saw the defense step up. And again, you can say what you want about Northern Illinois, but they're a team that routinely competes in the MAC. So I don't want to necessarily give them South Alabama status.
They gave Utah hell.
Yeah. I think that's something that we can take away from in a big way is, I think Utah won that one by, what, 2 scores? Maybe 31-17 or something comparable?
35-17.
Still, yeah. I mean, we played them better than Utah, which is a top 15 program, I think. A top 20, something like that.
Yeah, they're number 9. They're number 9.
Well, there you go. So I think, you know, if you're looking at that 44-8 win and you're nitpicking, well, then you're just nitpicking and you're not – you know what I mean? You're not seeing the big picture. Haas, as you like to mention, incremental improvement. I think we saw that. We continue to see that. And one of the things...
Cam Jurgens was another case of incremental improvement.
And we saw a big leap for him between South Alabama and Colorado. But when you... Because I know that you spend time studying offensive line almost exclusively. So when you watched the O-line play, what did you see that was perhaps most encouraging about the O-line?
I saw guys knowing who to block, and that was a really encouraging sign because in the first two games we had a little bit of confusion, and Frost mentioned in his press conference on Monday that in the first three games, all three teams have played different looks defensively than what we saw on tape. And you know, that happens all the time. Teams will put in new wrinkles, especially to confuse a inexperienced center making the line calls. But we saw it a little bit more than normal. And in the non-con, it's really common to see that because, I mean, the staffs that you go up against have had all summer to sit there and game plan and play on the whiteboard and, you know, draw up junk fronts and just, you know, different twists and stunts to throw off the offense. But I saw guys who knew who they needed to block. I saw guys latching on to defenders. Saw guys climbing up to the second level. On Maurice Washington's 60-some yard touchdown run off a little duo inside run play, Cam Jurgens looked like an old school Nebraska center. I mean, lean, athletic, nasty, getting to the second level and blocking the mic after helping with the nose guard with Trent Hickson. And so, you know, the guy just keeps improving, and his snaps have got – I don't even remember seeing a bad snap the entire Northern Illinois game. I mean, he's cut that down from a lot of bad snaps against South Alabama to one bad snap against Colorado that happened at a absolutely back-breaking moment. And then he calls it up against Northern Illinois with, I mean, no bad snaps. So he's just improving on a week-to-week basis, that incremental improvement, and I cannot wait to see what this kid looks like by the end of the season.
I want to talk a little bit. It was your Frost focus of the week, and Ace High, how Nebraska confused Northern Illinois. If people want to read the written version of it, they can obviously check out coronation.com. Tell me a little bit about what Ace High is. I mean, is that because I didn't click? I mean, this is a stupid question, and usually I'm more prepared than this, but I did not click the article, so we're back to basics here. What is Ace High? Is that just an offensive set that they're or a formation that they're working out of?
Well, first of all, Greg, it breaks my heart that you didn't read the article. I mean, I'm just over here as a glass house of emotion, you know.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
Rock with agony.
You want to talk agony? You want to talk agony? We can talk agony.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't doubt you there, Chief. No, well, like Ace High was kind of a play on words, you know, the ace formation, 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, but the Ace High part just kind of came from poker, you know, Texas Hold'em, and Ace High trumps, you know, everything else. So we went with a lot of ace formations with one back and two tight ends, and we lined up, you know, in different ways, two tight ends on the opposite sides of the line of scrimmage, two tight ends next to each other and kind of an ace twins look. One tight end on the line of scrimmage and another one lined up as an H-back in the backfield. And matching personnel is how defense is played in college football now. And really at football at any level, it's not matching the formation, it's matching personnel. So you bring in two tight ends, the defense has to counter the heavier personnel. And when they're in heavier personnel, they're hedging against the run. And what the ace 12 personnel sets do is it creates extra gaps. And football is all about canceling out gaps and, you know, having somebody to account for each of those gaps. And it creates two extra gaps on each side of the center. So you got the gap to the outside of the tight end, and you got the gap to the inside of the tight end. So you got that on each side. So you go from six gaps that you normally have to defend up to 10 gaps. Then on top of that, you have to deal with five receiving threats. And then you also, when you're playing Nebraska, you also have to contend with defending a mobile quarterback. So we're not only playing 11 on 11 football with a mobile quarterback. We're also introducing all these extra gaps that a defense has to defend. And then we're also using pullers that are going to create more gaps. And what it gets down to is you're putting players into conflict. You got guys who have to defend the perimeter from like a quick bubble screen or an RPO, but they also have to defend an inside gap against the run. So you're just really, it boils down to being a mathematical equation. Do you have enough guys to defend all the gaps? Do you have guys who are athletic enough to play two gaps? Do you have guys who are athletic enough to defend the pass and defend a gap at the same time? And to top that off, we also utilize motion. You know, like Maurice Washington on jet sweep motion. They're aligning one way towards the trip side of the ace empty set. And then we're running a guy in motion to the other side in a change of strength. The defense has to make their checks and their calls on the, literally on the fly as they're adjusting. We're able to outflank at, Northern Illinois on the perimeter on those jet sweeps. Once we got them biting on those jet sweeps, we went with play action passes off of it. Then we, you know, start mashing the ball inside on the inside run because they're starting to defend the edges, opening up those gaps, you know, inside. And then on the drive where Adrian Martinez had his short touchdown run, we just had a beautiful display of sequential play calling. You know, we just kept running the same play, handing off to Dedrick Mills up the middle. That Northern Illinois defense started pinching in to control those interior gaps. And once they, you know, start pinching in to stop the inside running game, Martinez pulls the ball and he, you know, goes around the corner for a touchdown. So it was a really good display because ace formations, 12 personnel, it's wreaked havoc on defenses for a long time. But when you introduce it with a mobile quarterback and up tempo, not letting defenses get their bearings, it becomes a pretty lethal weapon to have in the offensive arsenal.
This was certainly, I mean, we're only three games in, but it was Dedrick Mills' best game, you know, over going over 100 yards. Adrian Martinez looked a little bit more sure of himself. I think as the season goes on, he's only going to gain more and more confidence. If we had to, you know, the safety notwithstanding, if we had to really nitpick and find one thing to complain about from last week, I mean, do we have anything, or was it just, you know, taking care of business, moving on to Big Ten play? John?
Well, I'd like to see us be a little bit more consistent in the ground game. That'd be my one complaint.
John?
John? Aging Dr. Johnson.
Did he fall
Aging
asleep?
Dr. John Damn Johnson.
Did John fall asleep on us?
Must take this Geritol.
All right, well, let's move on. In fact,
looks like he's just us too.
I don't know how to read that Uber conference thing. He says he doesn't have audio for some reason. Huh. Well,
he's the guy man in the call, and he doesn't have audio.
That's weird. He can hear us, I'm assuming, as he hears us trying to contact him. I'm going to check the time real quick. It seems about now as good a time as any. We'll take a timeout. He says we need to fix special teams. That's for sure. That was a real interesting first half. Before we get to the timeout, before we get to the break here in the show, we're doing a lot of good things in punt rush.
Yes, we were.
Is that better?
Yes. Hey, there you are.
Hey,
what the hell,
party pal?
I feel like maybe you accidentally turned off your microphone.
Well, I had to move back to my bathroom office, and in the process, I accidentally pulled my headset out. It's scintillating stuff for the listeners.
No, that's okay.
No, we need to fix special teams. I think the punting looks good, right? Our punting looks pretty decent, but obviously we're going to have problems all year with field goal kicking, it looks like, you know. And I don't, they're just going to go for it? Are they going to try to work in a kicker that, you know, see what happens if he needs to make a 37-yarder?
You know, Lane McCallum settled in nicely, but at one point during the Northern Illinois game, I was thinking, fuck it, let's just start going for two on extra points.
Yeah, it kind of got that way. So, yeah,
it was a Twilight Zone game.
It was a crapshoot with the kicking game, that's for sure. Well, let's go ahead and take a timeout. When we do come back, Illinois is up next. Champaign, and one of us may or may not be making the trip. We'll talk about it.
Can we open up this podcast with Illinois by Dan Fogelberg?
No. We actually get enough downloads that somebody might take notice and want us to pay royalties.
Well, he's dead, so.
Yeah, but his estate. People still make money. Record label, things like that. People make money.
Somebody owns the rights.
Yeah.
I know. I was just trying to be. I like Dan Fogelberg, okay?
I do too.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Hey. I grew up listening to that stuff on road trips with my folks, man. 05 Alamo Bowl, South San Antonio, Neil Young, Dan Fogelberg, Pink Floyd. Man, yeah.
Well, we'll talk Dan Fogelberg and the Fighting Illini when we come back here on the Five Heart Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast, Coronation.com, the SB Nation Podcast Network. Daniel Grayling Fogelberg. I didn't realize that he only made it to about 56 years of age before he passed away.
From the cancer.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not good. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite Fogelberg song, John? I know that's kind of your generation.
No, I don't. I don't think I've listened to a damn Fogelberg song in 20 years.
Leader of the Band probably is what I think of when I go that route. I'm sure there are others, but you know, in that vein,
gooey music. I don't listen to gooey music. Okay.
Wait.
He's a hell of a musician.
Hold on. Are you telling me that right now you're going to tell me, do you listen to Kenny Rogers?
God, no.
Got to know.
Are you serious?
I'm dead. I'm
know when to hold up.
Don't what?
Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
You're on drugs,
aren't you?
You got to count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows.
There was all of our subscribers right there.
That or I'll get a record deal out of it.
Well, I was thinking our female listeners 50 and up is really going to explode. We're really going to see an increase in that demographic.
The Five Heart Podcast, slide into John's DMs.
that's what I need. Okay. Wait, were we? Okay, fine. Your Dan Fogelberg thing. No, I haven't listened to Dan Fogelberg in a very long time. I couldn't recall a single song as if I had to.
Well, that makes me sad.
Why? There's plenty. Just there's millions of bands out there, and
3,000 miles.
All right. So, John, this raises an interesting question. What's your go-to artist, like musical artist or band? Like, what's the one if you're cruising, you know, or you're scanning the radio, or and you know this particular song or artist pops up that you're like, I'm definitely not going to turn the dial.
Maybe you guys don't know this about me, but when I was in my teens, my mother and I played dances. Okay, we played. When we finally moved her out of her house, she had about 15,000 45s and 5,000 albums. So there's never been a single artist or genre or anything that I said, oh, I have to listen to this. It's been more like, my God, the world has a huge variety of beautiful music. Why don't we listen to a gob of it? But mostly, I tend to listen to music that's more upbeat and danceable and not gooey stuff like Dan Fogelberg's.
So let me guess, you're driving to work, you know, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or wherever fine burg that you live in, and your Bee Gees come on, you know, Staying Alive, and it reminds you of your college days down there on O Street, you know.
I would change the channel.
All right, what about the Temptations?
Okay, no, here's the thing. I've listened to Journey 8 million times in my life. I don't need to hear them anymore. I don't need to hear a lot of the music I've heard all my life. Right now, if you asked me what my go-to artist was, it'd be Walk the Moon.
Okay, Shut Up and Dance. I like that song.
That's their poppy one. They have a beautiful, they're excellent across the board. Panic at the Disco. Also very fun.
And I chimed in with, haven't you people ever heard of?
I'm really surprised, John, that you didn't say that when you were a teenager that your mother wouldn't take you down to the local art or music hall and hear from original pieces from the late, great Johann Sebastian Bach.
We did that in our early days. When I was about 16 years old, Mom and I drove the 300 miles or 250 miles or whatever it is from Curtis to Lincoln, Nebraska to go to Dirt Cheap Records, where she spent $300 on punk rock.
Wow.
Damn.
She bought a 45 called She Got Fucked. And that was the entire words to the song. And most people had to go, hey, Mom and Dad, you swear too much. I looked at my mom and dad, or you know, your mom and dad would say to you, quit swearing, you don't need that mouth. I had to look at my mother and go, why are you buying this punk rock music?
Well, now we know. I mean,
so it's safe to say your mom would have been okay with you getting a tattoo of Roy Orbison on your butt?
She probably would have done it. Okay, we should move on to actual...
Yeah, let's get back to some ball.
I feel like your mom's a legend, and we just need to focus. Sometime next offseason, we just need to focus an episode to tales about your mom.
Okay, we could do that.
I'm on board.
For now, we need to keep Haas from singing anymore.
Hey, just so you know, he wasn't the only one singing.
Oh, I keep saying, I'm the voice of an angel.
That's right. Chris Barrel Angel.
Barrel-chested angel.
Of course, this weekend, another 7 o'clock primetime kickoff. The Huskers are in Champaign, taking on the Fighting Illini and the Lovie Smith Santabeards. I'm going to go ahead and put this right out on Front Street right now. I have tickets to the game. And as we record this Wednesday night, I have been pumped for this game since, obviously, you know, since last time they were in town, the Huskers were in town 2 years ago. It's kind of that every other year thing. And as soon as we knew, you know, for sure, I reached out to my buddy. I said, hey, you're planning on going? All right, put me down for two tickets. My wife and I are planning on going. Last week, I did something at work and messed up my back. So there's a good chance that if somebody's listening to this Friday.
Getting old.
Yeah, well, it's called, you know, we'll stick with getting old, but there are a few other adjectives I could use to throw in there as well. But I mean, I've been put on light duty for work. I've been taking, I can't be in a company vehicle. I can't do my job. I can't lift more than 20 pounds. I'm not supposed to stand too long or sit too long. And I'm not trying to like wuss out, but I don't know if
that spasm suck, bro,
man, I just don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze. I know there's going to be plenty, you know, several thousand of my Husker fan friends in attendance, you know, cheering on for me. I'm just not 100% sure they need my voice. I'm not ruling it out right now. We're going to probably make that a game day decision. I don't know if I'm going to be miserable.
What's that? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
It's back spasms, right?
Yeah, well, it's according to the workman's comp doctor that I had to see, it is a sprain of the ligaments of the lumbar spine. So, you know,
that sounds terrible.
It's not great.
That sounds pretty shitty. Your wife's a nurse, correct, Amundo?
Yeah, with a master's.
Yeah. See, ask her about getting some Flexerol patches. That's what I'd do.
She's not that kind of nurse because she works with babies, so...
Oh, like I think you can get them anywhere. I'm just not sure.
They all got connections, Greg. Come on.
But the big thing is when I had back spasms a few years ago because I was an idiot and didn't stretch out after doing heavy squats, what finally helped me was the Flexerol patch over where I was having the spasms. And I don't know if it'd be similar to a sprain, but it was a night and day difference after wearing one of those on my lower back.
I'll definitely look into it. I've got an appointment with my doctor this Friday morning.
Be careful with muscle relaxers.
Yeah. I've talked to, you know, my wife about that. I've got a friend who's a pharmacist. In fact, he's going to be one of my Husker buddies I'd be tailgating with if I made the trip. He's like, yeah, dude, and that's the thing too, is the doctor told me, but folks, we'll talk Husker football and the Illinois matchup in a minute, but the doctor's like, all right, I'm going to give you a muscle relaxer. I want you to take two a day, one when you get home from work and one before bed. I said, you know, doc, there's a lot of times that that's a very small window. Like I might get home from work at 6:30 and go to bed about 2.5-3 hours later. She's like, oh, well, I guess then just take one before bed. So, yeah, I don't know.
I would say don't take any muscle relaxers Friday or Saturday. And you can't start, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So just get up, get like a bottle of whatever your favorite brand of liquor is, not beer, and just start. And your muscles will relax fine. And your pain will go away.
A whole new pain might
not
be.
Bad advice. Not a bad advice from Dr. John.
Yeah, well, that's normally what I would do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that Illinois matchup. The Fighting Illini. I'm not dodging the question. I just, you know, nobody cares about me and my back.
You're just moving on.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Illinois comes in. They are 2-1 as well, and they've had. I don't know what to make of this team because they put on some, you know, some good numbers, and then they lose to Eastern Michigan. So, Haas, when you look at Illinois. Tell me a little bit, particularly, I mean, this is an offense that finally seems like it's scoring some points.
Yeah, they're going to score some points, or they're going to try to score some points. They love to run the football. They still have Reggie Corbin in the backfield who tore Nebraska up last year. And they're not going to be as quarterback run game centric as they were last year with A.J. Bush. Now that they have the Michigan transfer, Brandon Peters. Starting quarterback is more of a drop back passer, but they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to be in a lot of spread formations, but the big key against Nebraska on Saturday will be how much Illinois wants to try to get after Adrian Martinez. Cause I believe his name escapes me at the moment, but their defensive end is leading the conference in sacks.
I know who you're talking about, but you're right. Name is escaping me as well.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
6.5 sacks. So, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that with Illinois, ever since 2015 when we lost to them in Champaign, they're always going to have good D-linemen. I mean, that year they had, like, Dwayne Smoot and Chunky Clement and Carroll Phillips and Hardy Nickerson Jr. was that linebacker for them. And last year they had, like, Bobby Roundtree before he got hurt. And now they have this guy who's leading the conference in sacks. So they're going to try to get after the quarterback. But really, this is a game where if we roll in there and we play clean and efficient football, we should be able to get out of there with a pretty comfortable win.
Did you watch their game last week?
Parts of it. I was flipping back between that and watching Colorado lose to Air Force.
Well, I try to watch all the Big Ten teams. Illinois came out, and they looked decent at the beginning of the game. And then after that, it's just like they went – yeah, well, we tried. You know, their defense gave up, 480 yards last week to Eastern Michigan, the Emus. 316 yards passing. Their defense is not very good, but their offense looked like it started the game. You know, Corbin was running well, and the offense looked like it was doing okay. And then it's like they just said, well, if our defense isn't going to do anything, well, they were just going to trudge around the field. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's still, I think, what is it, Lovey Smith's third year? Eighth year?
Fourth.
54th? Is it his fourth? Okay. Every year we've heard, oh, they're a young team. Oh, they're a young team. Well, how long are they going to be a young team? You know, because they looked like a team that really went out and just literally gave up. I don't want to say gave up, but they just kind of went, yeah, we'll call it in, you know? And then they lost, and they look like idiots. And our Illinois blog, the SB Nation site, Champaign Room, made a comment on Twitter that Lovey was coaching for his job in that game. So I don't know if that's true, but there you go.
The name of the Illinois player who leads the conference in sacks is Aluwole Batiku Jr., if I pronounce any of that right. Three games, five solo sacks. Two assisted sacks, 34 yards loss. So, not bad for a team that's.
Well, we got to block this guy, and hopefully Brendan Hymus is good to go on Saturday.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about is injuries. And we mentioned Cam, but we didn't talk about Brendan Hymus, and we really don't know. I mean, I don't know any update on his status, but Haas, as you mentioned, you know, the propensity of this, you know, transfer quarterback that they got in, who's more of a pocket passer, while they still like to run the ball, and I think even now more than ever, we have to watch the PA pass. We don't have to as much focus on like a mobile quarterback. Does that, that's got to benefit our front seven a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. When you don't focus on a mobile quarterback, you're able to cut it loose a little bit more in your pass rush. So much of defending mobile quarterbacks is just staying patient, you know, in your rush, not letting, you know, not getting too far upfield and letting him step up into the pocket and run. So this helps tremendously. And Bill, you know, we haven't really seen, I'll be curious next week against Ohio State how we defend a mobile quarterback, because we really haven't seen one yet this year.
This
through Brandon Peters, quarterback for Illinois.
Yeah, thank you.
Transferred from Michigan.
This weekend in Champaign is their Hall of Fame weekend, so all of the Illinois faithful will be geeked up and ready for it. Like I said, I've been to the last two Husker games in Champaign. It's kind of a fun, even when they're down, it's kind of a fun atmosphere. The student section is very active, very involved. The band gets everybody up and moving. They've got a cannon out there for when they score, which I'm hoping we don't hear the cannon too often. If I'm unable to make the game, I'm certainly going to miss it, but you know, I'll definitely be here in Illinois watching on my couch, if that makes anybody out there feel better. But hey, I'm not going to say that it's going to be quite the you know, big red takeover like it was in Boulder a couple weeks ago. But I know that there's always pretty sizable chunks of red in that in the stands mixed in there with among the orange. So. You know, obviously I don't have to tell you, the Husker fans, that how well Husker fans travel. I'm thinking that some tickets are still available if you're making a last minute decision to drive to Champaign or fly to Champaign or something like that. It's a fun atmosphere, and the tailgaters are all cordial. Even the Illinois ones. So check it out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
You know what? In 2021, I'll make the trip and we'll drink some Coors Banquet and Grain Belt.
I'm not going to lie. If you, I almost being, if I make the trip, I might grab a six or a Coors Banquet just in your honor. I might. I'm not allowed.
God, to. Damn, I'm not, that means a lot to me.
Like I said, I'm not allowed to lift over 20 pounds.
No, Coors Banquet might cure your back problem. So. The yeah, miracle beer.
It might, but it might also give me the runs. I think that's what happens with that Colorado Rocky Mountain water.
Not really, no.
No. All right. Anyway, we're all a little bit distracted because the Husker volleyball team is in action against Stanford, and it looks like it just ended. As I mentioned this 29 seconds ago, Stanford wins 3-1. So maybe next week we'll get Beth on to talk a little bit about what in the world happened when the number two teams collide and it's on your home court and things just do not go your way. But I
could tell you what happened.
Well, yeah, you've been distracted. You've been sitting over there watching volleyball. We're trying to record a podcast, John.
No, I actually haven't. I can tell you exactly what happened. They have four starting seniors and we don't have any seniors.
Okay.
It's early in the season. We're still putting a team together, and they're still learning how to. I mean, last year, there's no way we should have made the national title game, but we still did. That's how good a coach John Cook is. But, yes, Beth could tell us more about it. Are we going to do predictions with Illinois?
Yes, of course.
Am I jumping ahead?
No, I think we're about to. Haas, I've got nothing left if you got nothing left.
Well, I was
you could make a little, like, fanny pack type thing and put cold Coors Banquets, you know, pressed against your back.
Ooh, there
you
go.
And just drink them and pull them out, and then they'd be cold and make your back feel good at the same time you're having some pain reliever.
That's true. Like I said, nothing's for sure yet, but
Dr. John,
if you need to one more, if you, the listener, need one more reason to come to Champaign for the game, they sell beer in Illinois Memorial Stadium during football games. So there you go. Keep that in mind.
Ooh, there you go. Then you could, you know, if hot and cold, you could do the cold Coors banquet on your back and have some Fireball.
Just saying.
Oh, God. Oh.
So let's do predictions, and let's get the hell out of here.
Bart.
What, Haas, what?
I'll include it with my prediction.
All right. John, I'm going to let you start then.
44-21.
40.
I think Reggie Corbin will have over 100 yards for them. I think we'll have at least one defensive score. I think we'll continue to try kicking field goals to see how well we can get that into action before Ohio State comes to town. But 44-21.
Nice.
Haas?
I'm going to go with 39-13, and I would love to see it be a bigger margin, obviously. But what I really want to see is I want us to play a really clean, efficient game and have a nice tune-up heading into Ohio State week. And I can't tell you the last time that we actually played a really good game before a big game. You know, it'd be nice to have a performance where the entire team, the entire fan base is just brimming with confidence heading into a big game. So I'm going with 39-13. So I think we'll see a few issues still crop up offensively, especially going up against, you know, the conference leader in sacks. But we get out of there with a win, and, you know, we're feeling good and getting ready to host the Buckeyes next Saturday.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about at all this episode up until, you know, kind of Haas, what you just mentioned there about playing a clean game, is Nebraska only had the one penalty against Northern Illinois, and that was for some extracurricular after the whistle stuff. That was an issue that plagued Nebraska, you know, a year ago, and you know, certainly not just last year, but, you know, in the last several years. That's a talk about incremental improvement. That's a big step forward.
Oh, absolutely. The ability to play a game where you're not shooting yourself in the foot is huge, because the opposing team's going to do everything they can to, you know, fuck your game up. So being able to, you know, control what you can control is huge. And it's going to be even bigger next week. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be big for every game as, you know, we get it deeper into the conference slate. And really the one turnover, the fumble by Dedrick Mills, was that the only turnover we had in the game?
It was.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, you're basically playing even in the turnover margin. We might have, you know, you can kind of count blocked punts as turnovers too, because they're so fucking demoralizing to the team that has them blocked. So, you know, we win the turnover battle. We only commit one penalty. If we're going to go toe-to-toe with Ohio State next week, that's something I want to see continue against Illinois, because, you know, just play flawless football. Don't, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot.
I'm on board with it.
Do your assignments.
Play assignment football. No one needs to be a cowboy out there.
Nope, not when you could be a Cornhusker, by God. My prediction, I'm going to say 41 for Nebraska and 20 for Illinois. I like that. That's a nice 3-score spread. And it's right in line with where I like to keep my prediction, somewhere around the vicinity of you guys, but being just off a little bit, that maybe I can claim a little bit of superiority next week. I don't know. I never remember what we predict week to week anyway. So that's it.
I guess I said 38-24 last week.
Well, you were way off. I know you were not as confident going into last week as we would have liked. We were all a little shocked how dismayed you were.
No.
What did I say? I said 31-21, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, John.
I thought they'd score a little.
Greg, I think you said 49-21.
I think I definitely won last week. I'm not going to go back and verify, but I'm just going to go with the try not to hurt myself, pat myself on the back. That'll be it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. If I am in Champaign, Haas will be manning Twitter and giving all of the best reactions and rating your takes. If I am in my home, I'll be rating your takes and being as comfortable as I can on my couch. But either way, if I make it to Champaign, I look forward to seeing some of you, hopefully. And we're going to get on out of here. For Hoss Reuter, for John Dam Johnston, I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red. Crush those Illini.
Win another damn game.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.